And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and Hell followed with him, and power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth, to kill with sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth.
In the words of William Cooper, author of Behold a Pale Horse, we have been taught lies. Reality is not at all what we perceive it to be. Altering that reality, Thomas Jolly, the artistic director for the opening and closing ceremonies of the 2024 Olympic Games in Paris, brought the world this cheap smut we all had to endure. Jolly once directed a 24-hour production of Shakespeare, so the next logical step was to mock God at the 2024 Paris Olympics. Smack in the face of every human being on earth with an idiot box.
I don't know what y'all talking about, but this is the GOAT, greatest of all time. With a blue diamond on his head, gold, GOAT. Dog is the GOAT, represent peace and love around the whole globe. Get him, GLOW.
Just remember who changed your mind, cause when you start set tripping, that ass is mine.
With all of the swine of the New World Order in attendance, sitting like hogs over a Berkshire trough, the 2024 UN World Economic Forum Bilderberg event instantly resonated with tyrannical Olympiads of similar auspicious periods throughout human history.
The Olympic Games could not have been going better for Hitler. Despite the success of Jesse Owens, Germany were leading the medal table.
Presiding over essential food shortages for the Olympic athletes, followed by a power outage in the City of Lights that rocked Macron's spectacle of Merde on day one. Oddly enough, that should be the least of anyone's worries. Pre-Olympics,
four attacks in what the French government called coordinated malicious acts targeted links to the east, north and west of Paris, taking out huge swathes of the network.
Paris is already on high alert amid concerns about potential Russian cyber attacks and actions by violent Islamist groups.
A police investigation is underway tonight after an Australian woman came forward saying that she had been raped by several men on a night out here in the party precinct in Paris. All of this coming just days out from the Olympic opening ceremony.
And robbery of the Olympic athletes.
Crazy start to the trip.
Make sure you sanitize that thing. I don't want to lay on that later.
The Telegraph reported that France had foiled four different plots to sabotage the Olympics over the last few weeks, according to the French Interior Minister, who gave no additional details. While the threat of terror attacks looms large as radicalized inhabitants of the French no-go zones plot in the shadow of the New World Order's Paris, France. We address to the people of France and to French President Macron. Rivers of blood will flow through the streets of Paris. Meanwhile, the opening ceremony revealed Paris Olympic security is on every angle, making the U.S.'s Secret Service look bush league. The spectacle of the opening ceremonies providing a perfect distraction to the real threat on the ground. Yet nothing can distract from the potential death of a female boxer by a male posing as a female that has now weaseled its way into the Olympic Games via Marxist lunacy. Even as Thomas Jolly and crew respond to the backlash.
If people have taken any offense, we are of course really, really sorry.
Learning the hard way, God is not mocked. John Bound reporting for InfoWars.
All right, folks, that is just the beginning of some of the satanic outcome of the Olympics. We'll get more into that a little bit later today. I also wonder what the closing ceremonies are going to be like since it's the same guy who did the opening. Do you think they're frantically rewriting the closing ceremony right now? There's like an Easter bunny up on a crucifix. They're like, all right, we got to scrap that. We got to do something else because it didn't go over well the first time. I can't wait. I can't wait to see what they do.
It's been sold out for a while. It is pure deep earth crystal iodine. It's so hard to make. You've got to have DEA approved labs to do it. And it takes months and months to break it down in this special patented process. Nobody else has true nascent iodine. They put it on the label, but it's still bound to other elements. And it's not fully absorbable by the cells. It's the missing link. Even the UN estimates 2+ billion people have cognitive disabilities because of iodine deficiency. Up until the 30s, we had major IQ reduction because of lack of iodine in the U.S. food supply, especially in the U.S. Midwest. From the 30s to the early 80s, the government put crappy iodine in the salt by law. And IQs went up 15 points on average. Burnt effects went way down. And then in the early 80s, they took it out again. This is the deep earth crystal, pure, meaning atomic, on the atomic table. And it goes into the cells at a cellular level. Survival Shield X2, now available, 25% off, InfoWarsStore.com. 5-star review, or call toll-free, 888-253-3139.
It's Thursday, August 1st, in the year of our Lord, 2024. And you're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
I think it's time to blow this.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to The American Journal. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. Coming to you live from Austin, Texas, this Thursday morning, the 1st of August. We have a lot to discuss today. Some more information about the stabbing attack in Southport, in the UK, yesterday. We also have some Olympic news, as well as some political news as well. Now, I didn't grab any of the videos of Trump at the NABJ, I think it's called. National Association of Black Journalists. Is that what it is? He did this very funny appearance yesterday. It was like right after our show. So I assume Owen probably covered it, but I'd like to show a few clips from it and talk about what's really going on here. Was this a good appearance? Was it a bad appearance? It was funny. If you hadn't watched it and went on Twitter yesterday, it was split right down the middle. And not by political affiliation. Like, you had Trump supporters, half of them going, who advised Trump to do this? This was a train wreck. And the other half going, Trump is cooking. Trump is destroying this. This is amazing. Where do we land? On the this was amazing thing side of it. At least I do. I thought it was great. And actually, that'll be one of our first stories in our Daily Dispatch. So let's just get into it. Here it is, our Daily Dispatch. All right, folks, here it is, your Daily Dispatch for Thursday, the 1st of August, 2024. Trump attacks Harris's racial identity. Quote, is she black or Indian? Trump questions Harris's racial identity. Well, not really. This wasn't an attack. This was a recitation of history. This was pointing out and acknowledging the fact that for practically the entirety of her career, Kamala Harris was touted, celebrated, lauded as being the first Indian American woman to et cetera, until it, I guess, became more politically convenient to be black, in which case she started to call herself a black woman. Now, we'll show you the clip of Trump explaining this, but the point of this, the reality behind this, yes, this is colorized historical photo you're seeing here on screen. The reality is they hate Trump for doing this. I mean, anytime Trump would ever bring up race, they're going to treat it as an attack, obviously, as if they haven't been calling him Drumpf and making fun of his German heritage for the entirety of his political career. Put their hypocrisy to the side. The real threat of this is that being black is the only thing Kamala Harris has going for her. I mean, this is it. This is like, you know, taking away the ability to run fast from the Flash. That's all he's got. All she has is that she's black. She's got no record. She's got no personality. She's got no likability. She's got no record to run on. She's got nothing except for racial pandering. If you take that away, well, they're in big trouble. So they really have to insist that, no, she's black. She's always been black. And all of those news stories and videos where she's talking about being Indian, those are all fake news, I guess. No, it's real. It's real, and it just explains and exposes their dishonest and cynical pandering to racial groups. And they're very mad that Trump's not letting them do that. Meanwhile, 9/11 mastermind KSM and two other terrorists awaiting trial on Guantanamo Bay strike plea deals. The alleged mastermind of the September 11th terror attack and two other terrorists being held in Guantanamo Bay will be spared the death penalty under a deal with prosecutors, it was revealed Wednesday. The announcement was a bitter pill to swallow for victims' families who have been anxiously awaiting the conclusion of the case for nearly 24 years, many of whom felt that death was the only appropriate punishment for the perpetrators of the heinous attacks. Well, frankly, I agree. But, you know, Bush is going to live a long life if our legal system has anything to say about it. Meanwhile, female boxer yells, "This is unjust," and falls to her knees in tears as she quits fight against biologically male Olympic opponent Imane Khelif after just 46 seconds following two powerful punches. A boxer deemed a biological male today won against an Italian woman in one of the most controversial Olympic bouts ever. The fight between Italy's Angelina Carini and her Algerian opponent Imane Khelif just took 46 seconds, with the Italian throwing her helmet onto the floor as the clash was abandoned, yelling, "This is unjust," because one of these two boxers is a male. So beating women, now an official Olympic sport. Domestic violence in a ring. It's incredible, really. We'll get more into that. It's not the only example of transgenderism ruining an athletic competition today. You know, there were a couple yesterday. There's another one today. It ruins everything. And it just reminds you that the globalist worldview, the worldview of anti-God, anti-nature, anti-reality, is quite literally incompatible with everything that our society is built on. The Olympics are sort of just the best example of this. The Olympics cannot exist in a world where there are no nations and no genders and everything is fake and weird and wrong. We have to give all of the good and wonderful things up to accommodate these mentally ill retards. Meanwhile, Israel says it killed Hamas commander Mohad Deif. Israel confirmed on Thursday it had killed Hamas military commander Mohad Deif, one of the masterminds of the October 7th attack in an airstrike in Gaza last month. The Israeli military targeted Deif and other top officials in the Palestinian militant group in a series of strikes in the outskirts of southern Gaza city Khan Yunis 3 weeks ago, killing dozens of Palestinians. And apparently he was one of them. And finally, we have this. Iran's leaders order attack on Israel for Hanaya killing, officials say. Iran Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei ordered retaliation after a humiliating security failure as Iran once again balances showing strength against the risk of escalation. And Khamenei issued an order to strike Israel directly in retaliation for the killing of Tehran's Hamas leader Ismail Haniyeh, according to three Iranian officials briefed on the matter. Of course, what happened last time that Iran wanted to bomb Israel is that they actually worked in coordination and cooperation with the American and Israel intelligence services to put on a big show, fire a bunch of missiles with plenty of time to shoot them down and doing minimal, if any, damage. So we'll see where that goes this time. That's your Daily Dispatch. Of course, brought to you by InfoWarsStore.com. Check out the InfoWars MD line of supplements. I personally suggest you try the collagen. Collagen is one of the most prevalent proteins in the body. Everything from your teeth and hair and skin and everything is made of collagen. And you produce collagen as a young person, but once you get older, your body stops producing it, at least at the rate necessary to, well, things like prevent wrinkles and, you know, basically anything else has to do with your physical body relies on collagen. So if you're a little bit older, might I suggest supplementing your collagen production with the finest available at InfoWarsStore.com, InfoWars MD collagen supplement. Let's talk about transgenderism in the Olympics, shall we? Two major stories from yesterday. The first, we just covered in the Daily Dispatch. Female boxer yells, "This is unjust," and falls to her knees in tears as she quits fight against biologically male Olympic opponent Imane Khelif after just 46 seconds following two powerful punches. We actually have video of this, I believe. Clip number three here. Angelina Carini from Italy in blue, realizing very quickly she didn't sign up to fight a man in the ring. Let's watch.
Some quick replays of the very short-lived action. in the women's welterweight bout there between Angela Carini and Iman Khalif. Iman Khalif taking the win. Carini choosing to abandon the bout.
Refusing to shake hands. Why would she? I mean, just total, utter, ridiculous. Like, how do we even get here? How did we even arrive to a place where in the Olympic Games, you have a man pretending to be a woman, beating a woman in the ring, savaging her in 46 seconds, and then being celebrated as the winner? How did we get to this point? A man from Algeria, mind you. It might even make sense if it was from one of the crazy liberal leftist countries. We have a transgender Mohammedan fighting against this woman. Outrageous. He doesn't even look like he looks nothing like a woman. I guess when you have to wear prescribed uniforms, you can't wear a dress, so it's just less convincing. I don't know. It's like, what did he do to establish his womanness? Nothing. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, he failed his testosterone test, right? They'll test Olympic athletes to make sure they're not dosing testosterone, because here's the thing that everybody knows: testosterone improves your performance in sports and can be taken as a performance enhancing drug, the thing that males produce naturally at a much greater rate than women. Is this complicated to anybody? Is this confusing? Is there some sort of nuance that we're missing? No, absolutely not. It's a man going in a ring and beating a woman and getting an Olympic medal for it. Incredible. And again, this is like at the heart of the system that we're fighting. The enemy construction is anti-nature, it's anti-God, it's anti-reality, it's anti-fair competition, it's anti-everything. It's anti-everything the Olympics represents, which are all of the great things about humanity. The great accomplishments, the international character, the celebration of differences rather than demonizing those differences and folding them all into some plastic corporate. Like, the fact that the Olympics aren't for profit, they are, again, rely on national differences, gender differences, pure, you know, statistical winners and losers, not a panel of judges that gets to choose who they want to, who best fits the diversity spectrum that they're trying to achieve. No, it's just if you're the best, you win. If you're not, you lose. And if that was the case with every system, the globalists would lose every time. They need things to be rigged. So just the idea of fair competition, the idea of natural differences between genders or peoples or whatever, it's all anathema to the globalist vision. So we're seeing the clash now of the globalist vision versus reality, Olympics representing reality. But this Olympic game has been, these Olympic games have been cursed since the beginning, since their blasphemous display on the opening night, the satanic revelations. I mean, it could not be more obvious what their intention of all of this was. And you've got the power outage, you've got the shortages, you've got the crimes, you've got the attacks. Again, all just representing that you can't live in a world and have nice things and do fun events under the globalist regime. There's like, oh, we're really worried about the Islamist threats. And it's like, oh, well, maybe you shouldn't have let 10 million of them in your country then. Oh, we can't have competitions, you know, fair competition, because now we have women and men fighting together. Maybe don't let them do that. All of the choices that you've made for the last several decades are just evidence now. They are just, this is the obvious conclusion of all of them. Total failure of things that we once loved, things that were once times for the world to set aside its differences, to get a hard reset on all of our, you know, anger with each other. It's just incompatible. Globalism, very simply, is incompatible with human flourishing. And this, of course, very symbolic. the old, decrepit, crippled white French man passing, literally passing the torch to his African imported replacements. Wow, isn't that beautiful? Isn't that amazing? The things that this man built being given away to people who didn't build it. Isn't that what it's all about? Incredible. So this woman refused the handshake, fell to the canvas sobbing, having just received two punches from Caliph. And again, you know, we talk about it every time that this happens, which is like regularly. I had a story earlier this week of, you know, cycle competition, bicycle race being won by transgender people. And in those cases, in track competitions in high school, where the prize is some sort of scholarship to a major school or something, like all of this represents the betrayal of the actual female athletes who give it their all, who through blood, sweat, and tears try to accomplish something great, only have it stolen from them by mediocre men. By men who couldn't even make it in their own sex category. Things like runners who placed 46th place when amongst the men, but were setting new records with the women. And in those cases, again, if you've just ever known a high-level athlete, if you've ever known somebody that, you know, runs track and does national meets in college, like, when I say blood, sweat, and tears, I mean literally day in and day out, causing themselves to bleed profusely from blisters, and it's just what they put themselves through, only to have their victory claimed by some dude who's not even that good. It really is a betrayal. It really is horrible. Like it's a theft of your time and your effort and your future. It's not good. How much more crazy is it when it's the Olympics? I mean, as hard as you want to train to be the best college track athlete, multiply that by 20, and then you're getting close to what Olympic athletes put themselves through. Imagine working your whole life, fighting as hard as you can. I mean, the chance that you even have an opportunity to go to the Olympics is so vanishingly thin. Not only do you work so hard to get in the Olympics, to represent your country, your whole family's flying out. You're probably, I mean, this is it, right? This is what you've built your life towards. Like, you can't even be compared to theft because, what, you're just going to steal things or something? Like, this is, it doesn't really happen in any other industry or anything. Right, like building something from scratch. Like, imagine a CEO's just like, you know, lived in an efficiency apartment for years and ate nothing but ramen noodles just so he could put that much more time and every penny into his company just to have it taken by somebody else. Like, that doesn't happen in anything else. In what other aspect of the world do you have people who work so hard to have something stolen from them? Right out in the open with everybody seeing it and saying, actually, this is good. Actually, this is fine. It's insane that this is happening. It is absolutely evil. It's evil is what it is. Caliph was thrown out of last year's world competition after failing testosterone tests carried out to establish gender qualification. After the match was stopped, the referee raised Caliph's hand in the air, but a visibly furious Carini yanked her own hand away from the fight official and walked off. Ignoring the Algerian, the Italian fighter then plunged to her knees and burst into tears as she said she never felt such strong blows in a contest before. Speaking after the match, the heartbroken Italian said, "I'm used to suffering. I've never taken a punch like that. It's impossible to continue. I'm nobody to say it's illegal. I got into the ring to fight, but I didn't feel like it anymore after the first minute. I started to feel a strong pain in my nose. I didn't give up, but a punch hurt too much, and I said enough. I'm leaving with my head held high." And good for her, because, you know, as tragic and brutal as this is, at least she's not dead, right? Hey, at least we didn't see a woman beaten to death in the ring, which may have happened if she'd chose to continue. We nearly can't say that for a female volleyball player, 17, left paralyzed with brain damage by transgender opponent who cackled with delight after knocking her to the ground. This was from today, or yesterday rather, the 31st July, 2024. A volleyball player left partially paralyzed by a transgender opponent has slammed the Olympics over its boxing controversy. Peyton McNabb was 17 when a ball spiked by a trans opponent with force struck her in the face, threw her to the ground, and shut off her consciousness. The 5'11" trans player cackled in delight, Miss McNabb said after sending her to the floor, as did other players in the opposite team. Miss McNabb was left with brain damage and paralysis on her right side, which ended her dreams of getting a volleyball college scholarship and has made it difficult to walk without falling. Imagine going from being a tier one Olympic athlete or a college athlete to not being able to walk. She told DailyMail.com it was disgusting that two boxers who failed gender tests had been cleared to fight women at this year's games in Paris. She fears women could suffer injuries worse than hers. And I see some confusion about this. This is an older story. It's being brought up because she is speaking out against what's going on in the Olympics. But this is the story from 2017. And we've seen the video before, and you can find it on band.video. But that's the, there was the shot. I believe that is the shot that, you know, paralyzed her. This 5'11 male competing with the women. She said, quote, there's a biological difference between the two, trans women and women, men and women. Can we stop using the word trans women? It doesn't mean anything. It's not a thing. It doesn't exist. Okay. Could we get that clear? It does not exist. Trans women. There is no such thing. There are men and there are women. There are transvestites. There are men who dress up like women. And there are men who mutilate themselves and become physical abominations.
D-wads.
In a sick parody of womanhood. There's no such thing as trans. There's a difference between men. There's a difference between trans women and women. No, there's a difference between men and women. There's no such thing as a trans woman. Let's just be very, very clear here. Does not exist. It's all a lie. It's all predicated on lies. It's all predicated on narcissism and deception and deceit and just a sickening inversion of the natural order. That's all this is. You know, that's not the only thing that's happening in Paris. Let's go now to clip number six. As more of the Paris curse hits Olympic athletes. Here's the triathlon competition. They're about to begin with the swimming section. Problem is they're diving into the Seine, the deeply polluted and horribly disgusting Seine River. And now they're all barfing up the disgusting water. Okay, I guess they shortened that up. The original clip is a little bit gross because they're all just violently vomiting as soon as they get out. As soon as they get out of the sea. And some people, I've seen some people like, well, actually vomiting from extreme exertion is pretty common. And it's like, yeah, sometimes. Like sometimes you got somebody just going way too hard, then they might throw up. You don't have a situation where every athlete in the competition is doubled over puking a lung out at the same time. That's a different cause. They aren't all just going so hard that they puke. These are Olympic athletes. They're puking because you made them swim in the River of Babylon. We'll be right back.
Take a look at what happened.
On July 13th, 2024, the deep state took a shot not just at Donald Trump, but at America and our republic. But by the grace of God, God's hand was on Donald Trump, and by just millimeters, he survived. Ladies and gentlemen, the deep state, Google, all the big tech companies other than X have been trying to suppress this image. They've been trying to suppress everything about the assassination. But it is so important that we support President Trump and we support the InfoWar that defends and supports Trump by getting this iconic shirt. It takes that incredible fight, fight, fight image and it says never surrender. Under it and on the back, it says the answer to 1984 is 1776 with my signature. Now, this is brought to you by one of the top Patriot apparel makers in America, and they partnered with us and they print the shirts and everything right there in Arkansas. So these are ready to ship right now.
We love you!
President Trump had 8 shots fired at him, killing one man, critically wounding 2 others, and grazing his ear. He immediately popped back up and said, fight, 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 which translates to never surrender, never back down, never give up. But it takes the exercise of free speech and the financial support in a fight to save our republic. And InfoWars is recognized as the tip of the spear. And right now, we are in a funding crisis and need your support. So I have a 360 win. Get this amazing Never Surrender Trump Fight, Fight, Fight shirt with the answer to 1984, 1776, and my signature on the back, a historic memento, and wear it proudly in public, and you'll probably get, it's what I've experienced, 95% love. You may have some leftists try to physically attack you as well, but it's an adventure to wear this shirt. I've been wearing it out in public, and it's been amazing. And you really see the grassroots support that President Trump has around the country, not just in red cities, red towns, and red states. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is a critical juncture for the republic, and now is the time to wear our colors loud and proud. The red, white, and blue, with President Trump raising his fist defiantly to the New World Order. Go to holdtheline.com and use promo code Alex and you get additional 10% off. By wearing this shirt in public, you raise your fist in defiance with President Trump and myself and many others, the globalist tyranny, and say, we will never surrender to the New World Order. And the answer to your tyranny is 1776. We will never surrender. We will fight, fight, fight. Because the answer to 1984 is 1776. Fight.
Everybody buys the Life Select storable food, which has a 25-year shelf life, just in case of an emergency. Frankly, it's cheaper to eat the Life Select storable food than it is to get groceries in Biden's economy. Then they don't buy the Alexa Pure water filter in conjunction with the storable food. My thinking is, like, how are you going to prepare the food if you don't have clean water? They go hand in hand. You got to get both. What do you think, Jacob?
I mean, you look at every post-apocalyptic movie in the library, the most powerful person has water. I'm a well driller. So we have actually pretty sound filtration system, but sure. I recommend to people that can't have the complex system like I have to get the Alexa.
Thank you so much for your call. Super important call, Jacob. I appreciate it. I encourage everyone listening now to go to InfoWarsStore.com. Get the Life Select storable food. Get the Alexa Pure water filter as well, because you want to make sure that you have the ability to prepare that food with clean, pure water. Go to InfoWarsStore.com. Be the reason that we're still on the air.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
All right, welcome back, folks. I'm just going to open up the phone lines for your calls a little early today. We'll be taking your calls throughout the second hour, and then we'll be joined in studio by Maria Z in the third hour. Very excited to talk to her, and maybe we'll keep the phone lines open for her, and we'll take your calls with her. We have a lot more to talk about today. I'm wondering what I should save for discussion with Maria Z. I think, because there's this woman, Hannah Nealman. She runs a social media account called Ballerina Farms. She's sort of the supreme example of a so-called trad wife. And boy, do they hate her for it. I'm excited to talk about that. Maybe we'll save that for Maria Z. I feel like she'll have some interesting things to say about that. We also have some more news about the suspect who stabbed the children in Southport, UK. We'll get to that as well. But I want to get to the appearance last night of Donald Trump at the National Association of Black Journalists. I assume that's what it's called, the NABG. Yeah, I assume that's what it was. BBC covers it like this. Trump attacks Harris's racial identity. Oh, my God. How dare he? Again, yeah, whatever. They have to frame everything as an attack. He was asked the question, and he answered it with historical accuracy, simply reciting the strange transformation, the metamorphosis Kamala Harris went through, where she went from being the first Indian American woman to be senator, first Indian American woman to serve as attorney general, to the first black woman to be running for president. And I love, there's actually fact checks. Well, maybe we'll go to the clip first, but you'll see in the clip, Trump says, you know, she turned black. She turned black all of a sudden. It's fact checks being like, actually, you cannot turn black. She was always black. And it's like, yeah, we know she didn't actually transform, you idiots. What he's pointing out is that she's lying and pandering and altering her assumed identity to benefit her politically because it's all a facade, because she is fake and a fraud. And again, I pointed out in the Daily Dispatch, but here's the obvious truth about this. Kamala has nothing except for being black. That is her pitch. That is her entire campaign. Is I'm black, vote for me, black woman, I vote for black woman, I am black woman. That is her entire pitch. She has no accomplishments. She's not likable or charismatic or clever. She is a nervous wreck half the time. She has a laugh that makes hyenas' ears bleed. I mean, she is a deeply, deeply unlikable person. But the Democrats know that you can get people to vote for her by playing on their racial identity, by activating the implanted in-group preference that they think is the most important thing about her. So let's go to this video. We'll go to, let's go to the first one. There's zero chance that Kamala Harris will ever get a question like this from anyone in the media. There's so much to say about this. It's a little longer clip. I'll try not to, interrupt, but we'll just watch the whole thing. Here's Donald Trump. The first question asked him after getting on stage 35 minutes late at the NABJ yesterday.
It's not true. You have told four congresswomen of color who were American citizens to go back to where they came from. You have used words like animal and rabbit to describe black district attorneys. You've attacked black journalists, calling them a loser, saying the questions that they ask are, quote, stupid and racist. You've had dinner with a white supremacist at your Mar-a-Lago resort. So my question, sir, now that you are asking black supporters to vote for you, why should black voters trust you after you have used language like that?
Well, first of all, I don't think I've ever been asked a question so in such a horrible manner, a first question. You don't even say, hello, how are you? Are you with ABC? Because I think they're a fake news network, a terrible network.
And the crowd goes wild.
I think it's disgraceful that I came here in good spirit. I love the black population of this country. I've done so much for the black population of this country. Including employment, including opportunity zones with Senator Tim Scott of South Carolina, which is one of the greatest programs ever for black workers and black entrepreneurs. I've done so much, and, and I say this, historically black colleges and universities were out of money, they were stone cold broke, and I saved them, and I gave them long-term financing, and nobody else was doing it. I think it's a very rude introduction. I don't know exactly why you would do something like that. And let me go a step further. I was invited here, and I was told my opponent, whether it was Biden or Kamala, I was told my opponent was going to be here. It turned out my opponent isn't here. You invited me under false pretense. And then you said, you can't do it with Zoom. Well, where's Zoom? She's going to do it with Zoom, and she's not coming. And then you were half an hour late, just so we understand. I have too much respect for you to be late. they couldn't get their equipment working or something
Mr.
was
President,
wrong.
I would love
I think
you
it's a very nasty question.
Wow.
I have answered the question. I have
years.
Been the best president for the black population since Abraham Lincoln.
Better
That's
than,
my answer.
Better than President Johnson, who signed
answer.
The Voting Rights
and
Act.
For you to start off a question and answer period, especially when you're 35 minutes late because you couldn't get your equipment to work, in such a hostile manner, I think it's a disgrace.
I love it. Again, you know, the interpretation of this is so wildly varied on both sides. By the way, I just put in the other video where he's talking about Kamala. We'll go to that in just a second. Half people, like on Trump's side, are saying, this is great. The other half saying, this is terrible. Who told him to do this? We'll have to take your calls on this because especially we did white women only the other day. Maybe we can do black people only today calling in. I want to hear from black people. How'd you feel about that? I thought that was the exact right way to confront this. And it's hilarious because he absolutely did answer the question. That's the funny part. This woman, you know, there's something about anger and like fear and like adrenaline, like it scrambles your brain a little bit. Clearly this woman asking the questions like feels like she's going into the lion den. She's in the mindset of like, I'm about to face off in a life and death competition with a wild animal. Like that's where her mind is. So she can't even think straight, really. So she asked the question, first of all, like just completely dishonestly framed, right? I can't believe they're still trying to do this. I mean, this type of question should have stopped working the minute Donald Trump in early 2016 said, only Rosie O'Donnell. So that was exactly the same question, right? You've called women this and you've called women this. Only Rosie O'Donnell, right? They take the fact that Trump insults everybody who he's enemies with. Is this the thing? Do people not also see him be extremely vicious towards white reporters? Like, so he'll call a white reporter an animal. He'll call a black reporter an animal. And then this, you know, black communist apparatchik from ABC is like, you've called black people animals. It's like, no, he called a person an insult. Like, he insults everybody. Like, I can't believe that they're still running with this. I can't believe that they're still, you know, trying to make this work. It's very stupid. Then she's like, I would love you to just answer the question. The question was, why should black people vote for you? And he rattles off like 100 things that he did for the black community that nobody else did. She's like, you didn't answer the question. He's like, yes, I did. She doesn't even know what she's saying. She's not listening to him. She's not like paying attention to anything. She can't. Her brain is filled with adrenaline. Her blood is you know, pumping it at the highest stress cortisol levels you can imagine. And she can't even hear what Trump is saying. It's pathetic.
So number one, you've got central banks now starting to buy it by the tons, right? It's a lot. You've now got Chinese citizens being encouraged to not just buy gold, but buy silver. Because China and the Russia want to destroy the Western banks. And the Western banks, JP Morgan Chase and HSBC, have the largest number of naked short positions on the planet. On the planet. I think between the two of them, they have over 900 million ounces of silver in short position. Well, only 1.2 billion ounces of silver is mined every year globally. So they've got almost the entire annual production in a short position. That means when the price goes up, these banks lose money hand over fist in multiples. China knows this, which is why they're encouraging all of their citizens now to buy not just gold, but buy silver, because that creates more demand. Every time silver goes up in price, the Western banks lose money in multiples because they're on the wrong side of the transaction. They want to do it to destroy the West, and they want to do it to make a financial gain. Both of those, in their minds, are legitimate enough reasons to do something, right? But let's look at silver, because that's what we're allocated into right now, because the ratio between gold and silver points towards silver. It's outperforming. Where were we just 4 years ago? 1191. But now since then, we've gone from 1191 to almost 30 in the last 4 years. See, the trend is accelerating because the geopolitical dynamics are causing its growth. It's not just a flight for safety. It's not just a way to preserve and protect your freedoms and get out of these unified ledgers and these social credit scoring systems and this digital money. You're getting something tangible that actually doesn't just grow. It's growing tremendously. It's up like 40% in 4 months. That's amazing. But you also have something that can maintain your freedoms, Alex. That's the tangible intangible, which is as our freedoms
erode. Oh, no, I mean, I can't believe we have millions of viewers right now and maybe 500 people call you. It's a sponsor. I only promote what I think is great. So I sell water filtration systems that have the highest rating for like half the price on average. And I sell high quality supplements. I just sell stuff that I think is great. Everybody should call you and get into silver and gold right now. There's nothing performing as good as it. I mean, it's like it's on record. It's the best investment, but the stockbrokers won't tell you that. The globalist argument is, oh, the world's in turmoil and everything's collapsing. We got to be strong. And America's got to threaten Russia and China to keep us as the dollar. But they're the ones that undermine the currency. They're the ones that brought us into this situation. And so that's why this is so incredibly dangerous. This is trying to kill Trump just, 10, 11 days ago. They are going for broke. I wish we weren't in this position, but we are. But by admitting where we are, we have a real chance of waking up, like Congress saying, we know you tried to kill Trump. Buying silver is the smartest bet there is. You'd have bought silver a year ago, up 20-30%. That's what you want. And silver is the big mover in this economy. So go now to kepm.com/gold or 720-605-3000. They'll explain it all to you. Most of the gold and silver companies are charging you huge 30, 40, 50% premiums. And most of the conservative talk show hosts are doing it too. And I talk to them in person. I say, you need Kirk Elliott.
What does Goldman Sachs think gold is going to do before the end of the year? $2,700 an ounce.
And I'm sitting here saying, it funds us, it keeps us on air, and it's the best investment, hands down, in an imperfect world. I mean,
this is, to me, is one of the most important things to protect your financial future ever.
Go now to kepm.com/gold.
Throughout the second hour, if you want to call into the American Journal, 1-877-789-2539. 1-877-789-2539. Special priority if you are a black American calling in today. I honestly want to know what black people thought about Donald Trump's performance yesterday at the National Association of Black Journalists. I have a feeling the black listeners of our show maybe had a different interpretation than the people speaking on their behalf in the mainstream media. This article from BBC, again, phrases this as an attack. Now, here's the actual video of it. We'll go to clip number 17 here. Here's Trump asked about Kamala Harris's racial identity, a.k.a. the attack. Here's him answering a question he was asked specifically about her race.
Mr. President, don't mean to interrupt you, but would you consider taking the cognitive test?
Mr. President,
I would love to
and make it public.
Well, I've already taken two of them, but I'll do it again.
Mr. President, how do you intend to?
Harris, that let's take one. I said, Joe and I will go and take a cognitive test. Now, I'd do it with her, too. I would do it with her also. You know what? She failed her law exam. She didn't pass her law exam, so maybe she wouldn't pass the cognitive test.
Mr. President,
are you saying she wouldn't have passed? Just to be clear.
I'm just giving you the facts.
Why would you boo that? This is the thing. That was the wrong clip. That was my bad. But that's where he's calling her stupid, obviously. Saying she should take a cognitive test, too. People booing this. But remember, these same people booed his suggestion of Biden taking a cognitive test. These same people were outraged and offended that he suggested Biden wasn't competent until it became too hard for them to ignore and they had to admit that he was right the whole time. Their boos should mean nothing at this point. These people don't deserve an opinion on any of this stuff. Reality doesn't matter to them. Okay? Let's just be perfectly clear. When he said, I'll take a cognitive test against Joe Biden, they were outraged at that, too. So they're going to be outraged at everything Trump says every time, all the time. Doesn't matter. We can ignore them. So here's the actual clip of Trump being asked specifically about Kamala Harris's race, to which he responds honestly. And this is then framed as him attacking her racial identity. Rah, rah, boogeyman. Here, watch.
Do you believe that Vice President Kamala Harris is only on the ticket because she is a black woman?
Well, I can say no. I think it's maybe a little bit different. So I've known her a long time indirectly, not directly very much. And she was always of Indian heritage, and she was only promoting Indian heritage. I didn't know she was black until a number of years ago when she happened to turn black, and now she wants to be known as black. So I don't know, is she Indian or is she black?
She has always identified as a black woman.
I respect either one. I respect either one, but she obviously doesn't, because she was Indian all the way, and then all of a sudden she made a turn and she went, she became a black person.
Just to be clear, sir, do you believe that
she is? I think somebody should look into that too when you ask a continue in a very hostile.
Yeah, calling out the hostile questioning. You know, I can't. We'll go to some more of these clips, but at one point, maybe I missed it in the other clip, but yes, I thought it was in one of the early ones. They frame one of these questions, you know, trying to insinuate that Trump is got some sort of racial animus, racial bias or something. And they mention comments that he's made about a judge of one of his cases. And the whole time I just kept thinking, look at these women. Look at these journalists. Look at how they're treating him. Look at how they clearly are playing games with him. They show up, you know, 35 minutes late to the event, which it's a power move. There's this weird thing happening now where, like, dumb people have learned the basics of, like, power moves. And they're doing them thinking that they're, like, being powerful, but it's just childish. So like I'm pretty sure this comes from 48 Laws of Power, which is just how to win friends and influence people for Darth Vader, right? It's all the same idea. It's just basic human psychology. How to win friends and influence people will say, use somebody's name all the time. Refer to their name because people love the sound of their name, and you'll make them happy by saying their name. People just get a little dopamine rush hearing their own name, and they'll like you more if you call them by their first name. And then 48 Laws of Power will say, someone's name gives you power over them, and by saying it, you invoke something. But it's the same stuff. It's basic psychology. One of the things is making somebody wait is a power move. When you show up late, you're showing your time is more important. Your priorities, you know, the person that you're meeting is not your priority. There's other people that are bigger than them. And it's like a thing that's like infected the culture now to where, like, if people are accidentally late, the people sitting there will be going, he's doing the power move on me. He's trying to show he's more powerful than me. I'll show I'm more powerful than him. It's evil. It's all just evil, bad, evil stuff. So I guarantee you these people either are just running on running on black time or whatever that phrase is. Because remember, being on time is white supremacy. I'm not the one saying that. They will tell you that an aspect of white supremacy is the adherence to timetables. That's bad. That's wrong. That's bad. So they are either operating on black time as a symbol of their heroic anti-whiteism, or they're just like incompetent, or they're like, we're going to make Donald Trump wait on us. We're going to make Donald Trump wait on us. And Donald Trump's just like, I'm doing you a favor. Can we just not play this stupid little game? So all this is to say, when they're like, you said these bad things about, you insinuated a judge, a black woman judge, wouldn't be fair. And it's like, well, look at you two. Imagine if one of these people was a judge. Imagine one of these people decided to pursue law, a legal career rather than a journalistic one. Look at how they're treating their interview subject. Are they doing it without bias? Are they, you know, showing the respectable professional responsibility that they're entrusted with? Or are they using their modicum of power to try to, you know, be a thorn in the side of Donald Trump? How do you think the judges are acting in the courtroom? So this whole just like, how dare you suggest they're not biased? Well, look at you. Look at you. Imagine if you were a judge. You think Trump would get a fair shot? I seriously doubt it. I seriously doubt it. Regardless, let's just go ahead and bury this. Go to clip number 14 here. This is during Kamala Harris's run to be a senator. Let's watch.
Certainly, you could become the first Indian senator in U.S. history, which would be quite an accomplishment.
Not quite.
I hate her. I hate her. When I was downloading that video, I played it on Twitter, and then I went to something else, and so it was just like stuck on a loop, and I was doing something else, so I couldn't get back to the window to close it down. I just had to hear that like four or five times, and I hardly survived. I barely made it out with my sanity. Listening to her for more than a few seconds is a Lovecraftian event in the minds of sane people. So yeah, Trump totally unfairly treated, asked a question about Kamala Harris being black. And again, the whole question is predicated on she's only running because she's black. Yes, she was only picked because she's a black woman. Yes, yes, exactly. Because people like you, people like the people interviewing or the people booing him in the room are so easily manipulated, are so transparently biased that, yeah, they can just put a black woman of any character, of any caliber, of any intelligence or whatever, and you will go to bat for her. You will go to war for her. You will, attack Donald Trump into defense of her. You don't know her. She's a nothing to deserve your support. She's not your sister. She's not your family member. She's not even black. You think she was raised in a ghetto in America? You think she has anything? You think her life story is comparable whatsoever to the average black person in America? It's a joke. But you're the punchline because you fall for it. So stop falling for it is the real answer to all of this. And Joe Biden himself said, when talking about choosing Kamala Harris, that his number one priority in his administration is diversity, equity, and inclusion. So he chose a black woman. I mean, this is not debatable. All of this is obvious. All of this is very apparent, and you people keep falling for it because you're dumb. Let's go to clip 13 here, where Trump's just having fun with him at this point.
He has a lot of opinions about childless women like myself or divorced people like yourself. Do you think, my point is here.
It was said in a friendly manner.
My point is.
How can you not like this guy? There's something wrong with people that don't like Trump. There really is something wrong with him. Let's go to clip 15 here. I don't think we've seen this one yet.
It's not true. You have told four congresswomen of color who were American citizens to go back to where they came from.
Yeah, we already heard this one.
You have used words
Yeah, so
like-
they just, they tried to screw him up. What I wanted to play was the one where he's answering a question, and she's like, if you could get to the point we're running out of time. And he's like, you're the one that was 35 minutes late. Don't give me the time thing. So, again, just desperate, frantic reaching from the Democrats. And again, the point of all of this is that without Kamala Harris being black, there's nothing for them to pitch. She has nothing else. She has to be black or else they won't vote for her.
A lot of people have been asking me how they support InfoWars in this critical fight. And it's simple. Support our sponsors. And we brought you something really special that's a limited edition. It is a campaign coin. You've seen campaign coins from different wars, Vietnam, World War II, you name it. Some wars were just, some wars were bad. But still, we've supported the troops and their memento of the campaign they've been through. Well, we're working with one of the top companies in America that is supporting so many great conservative talk show hosts like the Hodge Twins and so many others who come up with so many of these beautiful coins. And this one is the Hold the Line coin. It is a limited edition. And this campaign coin is only $30. We get an additional 10% off with promo code Alex at HoldTheLine.com. HoldTheLine.com. It's got the Liberty Bell. It says Fight for Freedom with other inscriptions. On the reverse side, it's got key quotes from the Bill of Rights, from true Americana history. This is a piece of history that funds the InfoWar. So this is a limited edition for InfoWars. If you want to support the broadcast, get the Hold the Line coin right now at HoldTheLine.com. This is how you show the globalists that you're a patriot and you stood up for America and you help hold the line, the most critical point in the info war. Go to HoldTheLine.com and get 10% off with the promo code Alex. It's an amazing limited edition coin. I'm firing the bat signal like Colonel Travis the Alamo. Victory or death, we need your support. It's a piece of history. You get a big discount with promo code Alex. Now go to holdtheline.com right now and get the coin, holdtheline.com. Want to keep us on air? Get a piece of history? Take action now. Holdtheline.com.